Hello, happy new year, and welcome to the final podcast of the 2019 ESFFL season. With me today is Jake Hale, owner of the New England Chowderheads and our new champion of the ESFFL. Welcome, Jake, and congratulations on your hard-earned victory over the Manatees.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here, third time this year. Glad to be here as the champion.
Yeah, awesome. Also with us today are a couple other league members, Ray Temple from the Sochesco Swamp Drainers. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to change your name for right off the bat? Ray, are you going to change your name again next season? Just curious.
Maybe. We haven't decided yet.
Well, long time before next season.
It all depends on what our president does.
Okay. And then also with us, Randy Miller of the Bear Buffenuff, who had a glorious victory over the Cecil County Bay Foxes to rest on his laurels, but also made it to the round of the Final Four. So that was a great season, Randy. Congratulations, and how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm happy to rub in my victory over the Bay Foxes, and congratulations to the Chowderheads. You know, it's always fun to watch what you could have done against the team that was in the finals. And I'm proud to say I wouldn't have gone any further. So that anxiety is, you know, no worry for me.
All right. And your roster is still intact. You know, that's the way I look. Like, our rosters are still intact for next season as opposed to the Chowderheads. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's talk about that magical season that you just completed. Let me mention, Jake, now this is an interesting stat we have here to share with our listeners, especially those that are west of the Mississippi River at the moment. Jake, you are now the third person that our friend Travis Davis has recruited into this league that has won the championship within the past 5 years. We've had Dan Martin, mm-hmm. We've had Chuck Seipel, and mm-hmm. now yourself. Yet Travis himself, who's been in the league now, I believe, 10 years, and he hasn't yet won a championship. And this year, he didn't even qualify for the Johnson Cup playoffs. So what do you make of that, Jake?
Yeah, what people in the league don't know is Travis is running a big pyramid scheme.
Oh,
so anybody
okay.
he brings into the league.
Oh, you have to give him a kickback.
Yeah,
all right, so maybe Travis is winning after all. Yeah, and by the way, Travis is 0-2 in the Fantasy Bowl, while the rest of you guys are 3-0. And now the interesting stat here is that of course, the Clamoring Clams, I mentioned they didn't make the Johnson Cup playoffs, but they did qualify, obviously, for the Consolation playoffs, got all the way to the final and won it mm-hmm. with a score that was higher than your score or the Manatees or anyone else that's ever played in the Consolation finals or the Johnson Cup finals, with the exception of the Manatees back in, I got to look at the trophy to look this up, 2013, I believe, the Manatees had that same score, 274. So...
Yeah, he reminded me multiple times
that
he would have beat me had he been in the Johnson Cup and won each week to get to that point.
All right, but enough about the Clamoring Clams. Let's talk a little bit about the Chowderheads and kind of your season in review a little bit. You started 7-0. One question I have for you is, you know, you were 7-0. Did you feel at that point you're a lock for the playoffs, or at what point did you think, hey, I'm a lock for the playoffs here?
So looking back, I had a 3-game lead at that point. And our division, although we've won 3 out of the last 5, we did not have a good division this year.
Right.
You know, I was kind of the 4th or 5th best team, but the next best team was Chuck, and I think he barely made the playoffs. So not a strong division. So to answer your question, that 7-0, I thought, yeah, all right, at this point,
I'm
in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I think that's key, because at that point you can say, I don't have to worry about the weekly wins. I can prepare this team for the playoffs, right?
Yeah, if there was an injury or something.
Yeah. You then lost 2 of your next 3 games to drop to 8-2. And I believe one of those was to the Swamp Drainers, mm-hmm. right? So did that cause you any concern, losing 2 out of 3 there?
Not really. I mean, because it was either the bye, which felt like a stretch even at 7-0, to I didn't really see that big drop off. I think at one point Chuck was a game back and we still had to play each other.
Well, yeah, so you play the Cockatiels in week 11.
Right.
And I specifically put this on our outline to talk about because I thought the Cockatiels owner was going to be here. He decided not to show up. Last year's champion couldn't be hassled.
Could have handed me the trophy. Right?
Could have handed off the trophy to you, yes, but no. But yes, you did have that week 11 victory over the Cockatiels, which I don't know if that clinched the division, but like it for sure put you in position that you were going to make the playoffs and come out of there. And you did close the season with three consecutive wins. You finish 11-2. That earned you the number four seed. Ray, I'm going to blow some smoke up your butt now. At that point, my assessment of things, I really still felt like I put you in, Jake, I put you, the Chowderheads, in the same tier as the Bay Foxes, which I felt was the second tier to the Swamp Drainers and the Emus. So first I'll ask you, Jake, is that kind of how you saw it?
I think so. I felt teams that had McCaffrey, or especially your team when we played, I didn't really see a path to victory because I was kind of solid everywhere, and then McCaffrey would always kind of put me over.
It's the bonus
guy. And so when I went up against these teams that not only had McCaffrey but had two or three of the top 10 wide receivers, I kind of felt like I was boxed in a bit.
Yeah. So Ray, fellow Dalvin Cook owner, was that your assessment as well? Did you feel like you were, in that first tier going into the playoffs?
I never feel comfortable. I always feel I got one of the worst teams in the league, and we always have to improve the team. I think we made some moves to try to make things better, and one of them was to cut David Montgomery and pick up Darius Geis, and then Montgomery has his best games of the year, which I'll hate him forever for. And then Dalvin Cook just kind of faded at the end, and I was sensing that coming.
Yeah.
It's weird because in one of my other leagues I actually picked up his backup Madison because that was happening, and then Madison was hurt during the championship game too in that league. So I kind of sensed that Cook was fading. So I was nervous going into the playoffs. I never felt comfortable. I never felt that we were the top tier or anything of that nature. And I always liked your team because of your Tyreek Hill. I always thought Tyreek Hill puts you over the top on us.
When he has that big game, which wasn't week 13. Yeah. And here's another key for me was the week 13 performance from McCaffrey, because you were able to survive it in part because your opponent that week didn't have a high. He scored 73 points. Yeah. That's the heavies, I believe. But you were able to survive that while all the other McCaffrey, and I have the stat here somewhere on my sheet. Yeah. Other McCaffrey teams, other teams that owned Christian McCaffrey in the Johnson Cup playoffs went 0-4 over the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. That made you the sole McCaffrey owner to reach the Final Four. And I think that was – and then he did have bigger weeks towards the end of the season. Right. So I thought that was a big key.
Right. No, I agree with you. I don't – again, if you kind of look at who I went against in the first two rounds of the playoffs, if I played them a different week, it would have been a totally different story.
That's any championship run. You've got at least one week where, hey, if I would have played someone else other than the team I did, there's no way I would have won. Yeah. No way
and
I would have made it.
Two of the games, 1-3, 1-4. I mean, all it takes is one decision there. So.
Yeah, so a little bit of luck, a little bit of skill. You need some of them both. And I think you also need some guts, right? You need some guts when you get into week 16 and 17 to make some of the free agent moves and drop some of the players that you did. Jake, I think this is a record. I didn't look it up, but you made a total of 13 free agent moves over the final 2 weeks in the championship game. You dropped the likes of, listen to this list, guys, DJ Moore, Mark Andrews, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, and Melvin Gordon, all dropped off the roster in the last 2 weeks. These are guys likely to be reserved by other teams for 2020. Were these tough decisions, and which of these guys would you like to have back right now for your final roster?
They were all – I think the toughest decision was actually DJ Moore. I think I'm the only one with him.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty cheap, and I think he's a top 10 guy next year. And I was hoping he would get cleared from the concussion protocol for 17, but he didn't. I don't know. The only reason we do this, right, is to win the championship. So.
Yeah. You got to live in the now.
I couldn't believe I was dropping Kyler Murray and Josh Allen for Derek Carr, originally Will Greer.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
The worst was like Josh Allen because they said he was going to start and play, but you didn't know how long that was going to go. So that one I didn't know.
Yeah. Week 17. I mean, this is one of, you know, a lot of interesting things about this league, a lot of quirks, and that's one of the big ones is playing in week 17, and the issues that brings up. Speaking of issues, before we sign off, and again, Jake, congratulations on a great season. You're a great champion, and you know, again, congratulations on the win. And for Ray and Randy here, congratulations on your great seasons. But there will be a change, and I'm just throwing this out to the listeners and you guys right now. And the change is going to be that within the next 2 years, the commissioner's decided that he will no longer be manually entering free agent moves. So how exactly we get to that point is still to be determined, and I will be having some conversations with a lot of league members between now and the start of next season to see how we're going to go about this. But there will be a change, and sometime in the next month or two, I will do another podcast that talks a little bit more about the changes. But yeah, we had an incident during the playoffs where a change was entered incorrectly by me, and I didn't want someone's season to hinge on a mistake. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm going to get out of that business, guys.
Are you sure you're going to get the league office to give you the IT resources to be able to handle that change? Or are you going to have to?
So again, Randy, I'm not sure what the change is going to be. It may be that there's a new commissioner, or that we end the ESFFL and start the ESFFL version 2. That could be the solution. I don't know.
I don't blame you one bit. I would go crazy if I told Mike 1,000 times, I don't know how Jeff does it, because I would, because I, it drove me nuts when I was young and I used to do it for 12 team leagues. Now,
you're saying there's an effort to remove you from office, or is this?
I'm happy. If someone else out there would like to be commissioner,
not the Chris Bowen coup.
I don't think Bowen's going to do it. I would love it if Bowen were to do it, but I don't think that's going to happen. But this is an open invitation. If anyone would like to be commissioner or just be in charge of processing the free agent moves, that would be great. But I don't think we're going to find anybody for that. I think we're going to modify the rules such that it's a little bit more like a normal league, but still different,
that'd
unique.
Be tough with 32 teams, because you almost have to have it where teams could have the same players.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that if you're going to get into more of a automatic placement of players, you're going to have to get to where each team is only allowed to have one player, and then you're going to run out of quarterbacks. Nobody's going to have a backup.
So there's some ideas I have floating around, and if you guys want to stick around afterwards here, I can float them by you. But I don't want to share it too broadly at this point, because it's nothing set in stone. But that's all I had to say about that. And again, congratulations to everyone in the league on the good seasons. We've busted on Travis a little bit here today, but great run through the consolation playoffs for Travis. I wonder if he's ready to lock in with Lamar Jackson as his...
He called it the Lamar Jackson Bowl.
Yeah, the Lamar Jackson Bowl. That's what we're hearing. I don't know if he's ready to lock in with that just yet, but we'll see what happens. And guys, thanks for joining me today. And I hope everyone enjoys their offseason. Like I said, I'll be in touch with more information soon about what the future of the league looks like and all that. And as we cue up the Tina Turner here to close us out, I will let you all know that you've listened to this podcast in its entirety. Tina Turner's music lasts one more decade. We're in what, the seventh decade of Tina Turner music or something like that?
Sounds like 20-some years old, probably 30.
Yeah, but I think she started in the 60s.
I know, right?
Like in Tina Turner.
The Proud Mary.